The youth minister at Calvary Road years ago, one of the gentlemen who were very influential in my life, when you get saved in a church and you're in that 16-year-old realm, you're a 16-year-old young man just trying to find, boy, what a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to have a youth group that you can share with. Later on, David O'Keefe became such a great, solid man. So I'll just, Dave, every time I do it, I flip it in my mind, so I apologize for that. Dave, on Tuesday, you'll know where we were, standing upon Mill Mountain, looking down into Millboro, and watching all the events unfold that you heard on the news, with the dear senator being stabbed, with all the emergency vehicles for the helicopter taking him straight over Mill Mountain, Dave, right straight towards Charlottesville. The lowest helicopter that I've ever seen fly in that area up there. Coming up on Thursday, preparing for I knew such wide across the nation remembrance of the passing and the sadness of an assassination of, I believe, the 35th president. The question I would throw out to you today is, where were you? Depending upon your age, there are three events that you can pretty much ask someone and they can tell you where they were that day when they got the news. I'm not old enough, but I had a wonderful gentleman down in Aquia Harbor in Stafford, who I worked with, who was there at Pearl Harbor that day. He was a 19-year-old Navy seaman. And he told me honestly, he said, I was more scared that day than any other day I'd been in my life. Where were you when you heard about President Kennedy being shot? I was in the second grade. I can remember the teacher stepping out in the hallway when they got the news and stepping back inside the classroom and crying. Where were you on the morning of 9/11? When even as close by as we are, we could hear the plane when it hit the Pentagon. Where were you? In your mind, if you'll simply think back and you'll reflect upon days and events in your life. And I know that this week that question was shared among many individuals. Where were you when you heard? It brings back emotions. It brings back different remembrances that we have of the people who were instrumental in our lives. It may have brought back tears. It may have brought back reflections that God has allowed you to place back in your memory, in your heart. Where were you when you heard? Now, the question that I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to answer this question, I'm going to read just very quickly here in the book of the fourth chapter of Colossians, and I'm actually going to start down in the second verse. Short verses here, where the writer, the Apostle Paul, and then we'll ask you the question, where was he when he wrote this? He writes in, challenges the reader to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Then in the fifth verse, he tells us to walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Heavenly Father, add a blessing, special blessing under the reading of your word today. Prepare us for what you would have us to receive. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Where was the apostle when he wrote this? He was in prison. He was chained. He was in jail. He was incarcerated. It is amazing to me about how God, through his wisdom, through his inspiration, this is the inspired word of God given to individuals to share with us. And how we read these things, and so easy it is to forget that while this was written, he was in chains. You know about the chains that we have someone who has been secured in prison. We know about other chains. We know about the chains, the burdens that can lay upon a person's heart. And you'll notice here how the writer, how Paul here, he says that, which I am also in chains, meaning that gladly he felt he was chained to the love of God and the purpose for which he was placed into that prison, for proclaiming the word of Christ. That was a chain that he had no problem with. One, I believe, that he wore proudly. And also we think about different chains. We think about prayer chains. So many times here at church I've gotten a text, would you please pray? On Friday, I got a phone call, and Kevin and Becky got on the phone, and Becky's mom, suffering from the stroke, and they were describing what went on and what had taken place and what they were going to do. But most of all, the request was one thing: pray. The request was to pray. I believe in this world, the two greatest tools that a Christian can have is the Word of God that I have open in front of me, and the prayer of individuals who simply believe in him. Through the Word of God and through prayer, there is nothing that can overcome a child of God. There are challenges that we'll have. There are things that will shake us. They'll rattle us a little bit. But there's nothing that's going to overcome us. Now, I want to read you something. This is written in a place you would never think it to be written, you never expected to see. The phrase begins with, to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us. That's the first sentence. It's written outside of a corporate office down in Atlanta, Georgia. It's the philosophy which the founder, Truett Cathy, lives and believes. And the second sentence reads, to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. To glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us. To have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. That's written outside their corporate office, not something you'd expect to read. And I believe it's why God has blessed them, even they're all closed on Sunday. Now, I'm not trying to sell you, I don't have stock in Chick-fil-A, trust me. Although I have samples. I told somebody, them waffle fries are definitely of God, I'll tell you that. But the idea, their purpose, is with thanksgiving on what God has allowed them to do. Stewards. I've seen here at Mount Calvary just, so recently with the events that we've had to deal with. And on Friday during the conversation with Kevin and Becky, how we actually chuckled. I said, you're dealing with it. Kevin, how recently with the death of his mom, and here Becky with her mom having a stroke. And they laughed. They said, well, God is still good. Pray. You can feel the strength of individuals that have their faith rooted and grounded in His Word and serving Him. Now, Brother Herbie, I will tell you why I prayed for you. I got the frantic phone call on Thursday. Charlie, I don't believe it. I read everywhere. I looked at this. I looked at that. The cabinet that the ladies have downstairs so that they don't have to make this trek up and down these stairs for these meals. They have a wonderful cabinet. It was in, shall we say, Sears. And beautiful, and it's going to be just the right thing, perfect. It was supposed to be delivered between, was it 3:30 and 5:30? Or 3:45 and 5:45. Thank you for checking the facts. What you hear from the pulpit, always check the facts. It just so happened that afternoon that we're out here, and last Sunday, there was a couple that walked in on the meal. The name were the Fergusons. You didn't know it, but they had traveled. I believe he from Knoxville, she from down in Alabama. They traveled this way, and they had a small headstone to place. And the person who was buried here in the cemetery was buried in 1961. And they'd done searching, and I did searching in the cemetery, and we're pretty sure where the grave plot was. And they got a small headstone, and they asked if they could come and get with me and know exactly where to place it at. So I told them to be here at 1 o'clock on Sunday. I knew I'd be finished with that marvelous meal downstairs. My belly would be full. I had no problem walking out into the cemetery and helping them. They came early. They went downstairs. They enjoyed the tea. They enjoyed the fellowship down there. And if you'll notice, during the meal, I stole the fellows. We went out there to the gravesite, and we just simply sang hymns. We sang. And those two individuals, the brother and sister, were so moved for people that they had never met. And I'd never met them before, just emails online. And God was blessed. I felt bad, lay the ladies back and forth, and Janet was here on that Thursday. She was in her car. We're outside. We set that little headstone. Jim came over and helped us. And Jill, I'm not going to forget. Thank you to Alice and Jill for that wonderful covering for the hymnals back there. We're going to tell you about that at the end of the service. We're going to tell you how you do it. We're going to give you instructions, which you'll mess up. Don't worry about it. I went over to Janet, and she says, today is the day the cabinet is delivered. I expected to go over, and she had her book open. I said, she's in the back of the church. I expected to be sitting there reading scripture. I walked over to the open window over there. I peeked in, and she goes, four letters across, Lou Gehrig's teammate. Babe Ruth. She was doing her spiritual crossword puzzle in the back of the church there, as any good Christian lady should, when you're waiting for the cabinet comes. I'd already gone. I got the frantic call that night. It came in a box. It was not assembled. I'm so upset with those fellas. I am so upset. I said, just calm down. And I could tell she was upset. The more she upset, the more I laughed. The more I laughed, the more she was upset. It's true. The more she would talk, the more I would start to get. I said, this is okay. We will fix it. And I immediately started to pray for Herbie. Trying to read between the lines. Worked out yesterday morning. I got my buddy Roger, his family has lost everything over in the Philippines there where the storm came through. We went downstairs. We put the cabinet together. I should tell you, it took us hours and hours. You'd be so. It didn't take us that long. We got together. Went together beautifully. It's a wonderful cabinet down there. And I have a little place on my thumb, which Roger has a greater appreciation for me because he had to chuckle and laugh at me. He says, you know, I always wondered what the pastor would say in the basement of the church when he pinched his thumb. So we had that little conversation. You weren't there, Don. You'll have to ask Roger. How do you deal with folks? We're not in church. How do you deal with individuals who, and I'm very prejudiced, folks, I will tell you right now, I'm very prejudiced to what we have here at Mount Calvary Community Church. This little church doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me how God could so, I believe, totally, richly bless us with the individuals who come in Sunday after Sunday. I've never seen a church with such a small, well, I think it's a great attendance. But shall we say, as opposed to next door with a smaller group number in attendance, what a wonderful spirit is felt every time I come here. And what a wonderful willingness for the people here to simply work, to work for the glory of God. You want to know what a true Thanksgiving is? A true thanksgiving is a prayer that would say, God, open to us a door for the Word. Open to us a door for the Word. I believe that God richly blesses us here during the services, during our concerts, during the time that we're gathered studying on Wednesday night. I know He blesses within that room where the Word is studied. I know when the guys get together and we sing, we enjoy the presence of the Lord. But even more so and more importantly is, what do you do with this? What do you do with this? Where do you take it to? How do you put it to use? This word in front of me is a light. And folks, there are so many people out there who would love to hear it. There was a time that, you know, you would be, maybe in some circles, in some places, they'll call you politically incorrect for praising the name of Jesus Christ, for lifting up the word, for saying, thank you, Lord. But trust me, folks, you're going to get a response like you won't believe. You're going to see people are going to thank you for sharing with them. Because there's really nothing else out there, I believe, that has near the impact upon people's lives than simple truths that we find within God's Word. I'm amazed. I'm moved. I am encouraged by what He is doing in our midst. Don't reach for your wallet. I'm not telling you we're trying to build some bigger building. Nope. I like this building just the way it is. We worked hard to get the the hymnals to fit on the little cart that's got the new covering. We work hard to put a cabinet together that's beautiful downstairs. We don't want to change anything now. But what we are going to do is take what you feel and take what God has done for you and take what God has given you and share it with a world that doesn't have it. See, my prayer had worked because when Herbie and Janet went looking for that guy from Sears, he wasn't there.